Welcome to the Closing Market Report. It's July the 21st, 2006. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, the staff here at WILL will talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostert. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator in Ludlow, Illinois. Along the way, we'll dig into the digital archives in the basement of Mumford Hall and pull out a story from 1990. The year of the Great Flood. Stay with us for this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Did you miss the Closing Market Report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, willag.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to willag.org and put the AM 580 agricultural podcasts to work for you.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming on AM 580 as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com.
Good afternoon. I'm Jim Meadows in for Todd Gleason on the Closing Market Report on this Friday, July 21st, with a quick look at some of the settlement prices starting at the Kansas City Board of Trade, where September wheat finally closed after a bit of a delay. It settled at $5.06, up 3.5. Looking at the Chicago Board of Trade, September wheat settled at $4.07.25, up 3/4. December wheat at $4.26.25, up 1.75. September corn settled at $2.37.25, down 5.25. December corn settled at $2.53.5, down 5.75. March corn settled at $2.67.5, down 4.75. May corn settled at $2.76, down 5.5. Soybeans were down. August soybeans settling at $5.77, down 7.25. September beans at $5.84.5, down 7.25. Beans for November settling at $5.98.5, down 7. The same for November beans settling at $5.98.5, down 7. August soybean meal was down, settling at 166.5 or 0.50, down 120. August soybean oil settled at 26.17, down 24. Looking at the mercantile exchange, feeder cattle for August was at 115.62.5. That's up 35. No action on July live cattle. August live cattle settled at 84.27.5, and that was up 42.5. Lean hogs for August settled at 67.37.5, and they were up 2.5. Joining us now for a look at the futures market is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, Jim.
Well, what are you seeing? What are the big things to notice on the way the futures market went today?
Well, we'll start with the meats because we had three real big reports out today. We will start with the semiannual cattle report. Looked pretty neutral from the first initial glance at it, Jim. All cattle and calves at 101%. Beef cows and heifers that have calved 100%. Heifers 500 pounds and over 102, beef replacement heifers 100%, and steers 500 pounds and over 103, all pretty much within range. We'd call that semiannual report a neutral one. The problematic numbers come back into the on-feed. Very, very surprising numbers here. July 1 on-feed, 105%. That's a full 2% higher than anybody had thought, 1% over estimates. Placements a whopping 110%. That's 2% above the highest estimate was, and 10 to 11% over the average estimates. We're looking at placing 1.951 million head in June, and that's 18% above 2 years ago. So we would not suspect that's been factored into the price. Marketings came in neutral. Opening calls in cattle after both these reports have been released, $0.75 to $1 lower on Monday. third report that came out was cold storage. It was neutral to cattle, in our opinion. It looked pretty friendly to hogs, so we'll have to watch the hog market. Hogs looked a little technically friendly going into the close today. Pork stocks were down 14% versus last month, 17% versus last year. So a lot of news on the Merck. We don't give the Merck the attention it deserves sometimes on Friday, so we want to try and make up for that.
Okay, and let's go over to the Board of Trade action and looking, I guess, I was wondering about the wheat, which is continuing up.
Yeah, we talked to some Chicago traders today, both before the opening, during the trade, and slightly after the close, and we really got a mixed bag from Chicago. We found, Jim, that probably half of the producers, or excuse me, half the traders out there were looking at a friendly wheat market today. The other half were looking to sell any friendly news whatsoever, and you just have to look at it, I guess, from a technical standpoint and very low volume standpoint overall, that the SEP wheat failed to take out last week's high of 417. So the short-term longs that were still carried over from yesterday and probably some new ones that bought into it today after the open, they went ahead and looked like it liquidated so that we were barely even able to get much above steady on the day. Good news is for the week and for the day, we did stay above the 10 and 50-day moving averages in the wheat. So that was a nice thing to see. And maybe something else that was bleeding over into the wheat complex was we noted from the Newswire interviews after the gold closed, which gold was down over $12 an ounce today. Obviously, copper's been weak this week, but it's not been something today that would have, you know, maybe initially got the gold down to that hard level and sell off that much. But Newswire interviews were saying that the investors were trimming long positions ahead of the weekend. That would make sense from a standpoint of the new news from the Middle East, that the ground assault, that the Israeli side is ramping up. They wanted to go ahead and liquidate some longs. It looks like they're doing the same thing in the Dow and in the equities markets with the S&P down 6.5 and the Dow down 50. We did note that the Morgan Stanley Index was down about 2%, the Morgan Stanley Commodity Index. And so it would make sense that we did see some interviews on the news wires made sense, that investors were indeed trimming some positions. And maybe that bled over into the wheat as well. We certainly think that and the weather and the wicked, terrible technical start we got in the corn and bean pits off the opening, those were definitely contributing factors why we couldn't come in and close a little bit better on the week.
And sorry to rush you on this one, but is there anything particularly you have to say about the corn and beans today?
Well, the corn and beans, we're in a mindset that we've seen, especially in corn, we've seen futures go down. We've gotten phone calls all week from clients and producers all around the country saying now we're starting to see basis widening. We just don't hedge and sell cash when futures and basis are going down, especially ahead of this August report. We're asking clients to give us 20 days here to see how negative of report this market's factored in, and let's take a fresh look at the weather and take a fresh look at the Middle East next week.
Okay, thanks, Mike.
You bet, Jim. Have a nice day, and hope you're living a dream like we are.
Okay, Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Grainfield Marketing in Normal. Grainfield Marketing can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the Internet at grainfield.com.
At the bottom of the hour, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, Steve Hilberg. AM 580's Mike Sola forecasts for Illinois and Indiana for tonight in the south, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms. In central sections tonight, partly to mostly cloudy with a chance for a few evening thunderstorms. In the north, partly cloudy with patchy fog, lows ranging from 57 in northwestern Illinois, the near 70 in the far south. Tomorrow, in eastern and southern Indiana, partly to mostly cloudy with occasional showers and thunderstorms. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny, highs ranging from 78 in northeast Indiana to 83 in western Illinois. The extended forecast for the two-state region, Sunday and Monday, partly to mostly sunny with a few scattered thunderstorms during the afternoons and early evenings. For Tuesday, partly sunny, highs Sunday and Monday in the 80s, highs Tuesday in the 80s, north and central with 90s in the south. And lows through this entire Sunday through Tuesday period, mostly in the 60s with some 50s in the north.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Bob Bastifer in Danville at 217-477-6016. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week. On assignment this week, of course, in Ukraine, as you know, I'm sure by now. And I've been pulling things from the archive. Today we're going to listen to a story from the Great Flood of 1993. This is the first time I managed to put a story together without using my voice. The most amazing part of this story is that it's 9 minutes long. And you really don't get bored, or at least I don't, listening to the whole thing all the way through. We started out right here in Champaign-Urbana, where a group of volunteers boarded a bus and headed west to the Illinois River, where they were going to throw sandbags.
I used to live in California, which has a lot of disasters, so I thought, as long as I'm here and there's a disaster, it'd be good to go and help people out.
My husband and I took a trip down to St. Louis to see how bad it was about a week and a half ago. And I just remember seeing an old man sitting up on the side of the street with everything he owned around him, knowing that, like, probably the insurance wasn't going to cover everything. It didn't look like he had a wife or anybody to turn to for help. So I thought that I would come down and try and help out and try and make a difference.
And I woke up this morning and thought, I have so much. I'm one of the luckiest people in the world, and if I can help, that's why I'm going.
I just quit my job, and I'm unemployed, so I can't send money. So instead of that, I think I'm going to go, you know, try to help out manual labor.
I have a six-year-old son, and he's here with me today. And for me, it's a way to show him that he should help people when he can, and to teach him so that as he grows, he'll help others.
Because I've seen the reports, and it was really awful because people have their houses have floods all around their houses, and it's bothering them because they don't want the water to get inside their houses.
Okay, directly in front of me is a pile of brown sand with lots of sticks sticking out of it, and trees, lots of trees, and lots of people, men with shovels, women with bags and gloves, everybody just bagging. Lots of sand.
I'm holding sacks open so this young man can put sand in it and this young man can tie him up.
I fill the sandbags. I take the shovel, get some sand, fill the sandbags.
Well, we have people holding bags open. Another person shovels 2 to 3 bags of sand in the bag. And then another person ties the bag, throws it in a pile, puts the sandbag in the truck, and away we go.
We're taking a truckload of sandbags to behind Bill Smith's tenant house, which is down in the northwest corner of our district. There's prisoners down there that will unload the truck, and they're taking them downstream on boats and four-wheelers to where the sandbagging points are. We farm about 1,000 acres of just beans, corn, and occasionally wheat. And we have a hog farm operation also. Several hundred hogs. That's basically what we do. We use some of the corn we grow to feed our hogs. The last time this district flooded was in 1926 when the creek levee broke, and the river levee's never broken. But normally we don't have any flooding problems. 1973 was the last time the river got this high. And we've surpassed that, of course.
Come over here to the levee, and the truck was going to bring some sandbags and throw them off by hand. And when we backed up, we got a sight that there was probably 30, 40 prisoners, maybe 50. And they were just throwing the sandbags, probably more than a normal person could. And there was guards around telling them, you know, just to get into a cadence and to get into their system of the way that they were supposed to do. And really, they were a great bunch of guys because they just minded and listened to what their man said all the time. And now they're moving on down to another section of the levee that is supposedly weak, and they're going to try to get it more secure.
Sergeant, we're gonna go to church. I'm in Dixon Springs Boot Camp, and I'm here to help the people with the flood. We're here to pack sandbags, fill sandbags, make levees, repair levees, do whatever it takes to stop this water.
Lunch today was one slice of ham on a sandwich, and it was a good lunch. All you could eat and drink. Very good time.
We get the food from the Red Cross. We were getting the food from the Red Cross out of Quincy, but now they've transferred us to Alton, and it's real good food. We have a cold lunch, a sandwich and fruit, potato chip, and snacks, any kind of snacks they want. And then for dinner, we have a hot meal, fruit and a hot meal. It's usually some kind of a barbecue or a stew or, last night we had spaghetti, and it was really good. We order 250 meals a day. And lots of times in the afternoon, we'll get a call from the levee that they haven't eaten. So we get busy, and maybe we'll fix up 35, 40 sandwiches and potato chips and a fruit and a drink and take it to the levee for them. And this is a garage, and we have fluorescent lights. We have a ceiling fan, and we have a large fan back there that the food is stacked in front of. But it does keep the air circulating. And I think that is someone's speaker, I believe. That's someone's in a band or something, so we use that for a table for a drink. And this is, what do they call those? That they carry things on?
Pallet.
Pallet, yeah, a pallet with some plastic over it that we made a table. And over here we have paint buckets stacked with two boards. That's where we take care of most things. We're not set up to wash dishes or anything. We're just, everything that we do, we throw away. It's disposable.
Chick Spangenberg is my name, and I've lived here in the bottom since 1949. I just retired last year, but I still live just a couple of hundred yards up here. And this is just amazing, the people that's come in here to help. I just can't get over all the volunteer help that we've had here. And without the volunteer help, originally the volunteer help before the National Guard got in here, the volunteer help helped save the district. But they were completely wore out by the time the Guard got here. If the Guard hadn't got here, I don't think we could have done it, because they were just completely exhausted by the time the Guard got here. Now the Guard's here, and we're back in pretty good shape. And one of the mistakes we've made here, we should have had everybody sign in when they came in. They've came in here from Chicago and Wisconsin and Champaign and Indiana and then just, you name it, and there's people volunteered and came in here and drove many miles to get here to help. I can't get over the fascination. That really gets me, of all the volunteer help. It restores your faith in humanity. There's no question about that.
There are a couple of notes of interest about this story on the Great Flood of 1993 that we just listened to out of the archive. The first is that the levee that the volunteers heavily fortified on that day broke the following day. The second is the reason I happened to be along for the ride. In fact, I did not volunteer to throw sandbags, though that happened during the day, and I was not assigned to cover the story by the radio station. I was along for the ride because, well, I had the ride. I drove the volunteers back and forth from Champaign County to Western Illinois. At the time, I not only worked for the radio station here on campus, I also was a driver for the Champaign-Urbana Mass Transit District, one of the best jobs I ever had, working for the CUMTD. Hey, have a good day. I'm Todd Gleason.
Did you miss the closing market report or some of our other agricultural programming? We've got the answer. You can get all our AM 580 agricultural shows delivered daily directly to your computer. Just go to our website, WILOAG.org, and look for the headline, subscribe to AM 580 Ag Podcast. Follow the simple steps, and you'll never miss an ag broadcast again. From the pre-opening and opening ag reports to the closing market report to Commodity Week, all delivered to your computer when you need it. Head on over to WILOAG.org and put the AM 580 Agricultural Podcasts to work for you.
The Carl Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carl Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
Jim Meadows here on the Closing Market Report. Joining us now for our look at the cash grain market is Bruce Bastard of Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. Bruce is the general manager of the co-op's 7 East Central Illinois locations. Good afternoon, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
And how have things been looking on the cash grain market today?
Well, the basis has been under pressure here for the last few days as some rains have gone through, as the temperatures look to moderate out in the forecast. We've seen cash movement some here, although I would say that the Illinois farmer is probably further ahead and is selling than the Western Belt farmer. Sounds like we're seeing some pretty good give-up type selling from some of the Western Belt folks.
Okay. Is there anything that you can see for the week ahead?
Well, I think we'll continue to watch that. You know, what we're seeing is basis levels that have been pressing down. Barge freight is just at some horrendously high levels on the river in response to that movement. So I think we'll continue to see some of that. There's an awful lot of loans that are starting to come, that will be starting to come due in the next month or so. So that's kind of hanging over the head of the market out here. There are still some dry areas out there. I guess one of the big concerns that we'll be seeing is watching some of those, although they have diminished in size. And it's going to take us a while to see how much damage these some of these superheated temperatures out west have actually done to pollination. That's a thing that'll take a few days or maybe a few weeks to sort itself out.
Okay. Any final words, Bruce?
Nothing really right now. It'll be interesting to see what happens. You know, we still have some beans that need to move, and the market is looking at them. So it has been not really chasing the market, but the other way around.
Thanks, Bruce. Have a good weekend.
You too.
Bruce Bastard is the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company in Ludlow, Illinois. In about 2 minutes, we'll take a look at the agricultural weather with Steve Hilberg. Your local newscast is next.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. A spokesman for Urbana Congressman Tim Johnson says conflicting information from the State Department is making it more difficult for Champaign-area residents trying to leave war-torn Lebanon. Phil Bloomer says those trying to leave the area were initially told to make appointments to leave the northern port town of Juni, but as of today, were told to gather at the port and wait for one single boat departure late in the day. The fighting in Lebanon has impacted at least 2 families from Champaign. Bloomer says Congressman Johnson's efforts to intervene will continue. Champaign's county coroner has identified a man whose body was discovered near downtown Champaign yesterday. Autopsy results show 36-year-old Raymond Nolan's death was not the result of foul play or trauma. Final autopsy results are pending, however. Chicago Mayor Richard Daley's attorneys have dismissed any allegations that he was aware that police officers were tortured suspects in the 1980s. He was Cook County State's attorney at the time. Attorneys for the men who say they were tortured have accused the mayor of knowing about the allegations and failing to investigate. Indiana is honoring Mother Theodora Guerin, a 19th-century nun who is to be canonized as a saint in October. Governor Mitch Daniels is hanging a portrait of Guerin in his office. At a ceremony at the Vatican October 15th, Guerin will become the first person from Indiana and the 8th from the U.S. to be canonized as a saint in the Roman Catholic Church. And Rantoul is the skydiving capital of the world for the next 9 days. The World Free Fall Convention began this morning. It's described by jumpers as a kind of family reunion. Convention spokeswoman Beth Mallow says she expects about 1,100 jumpers over the course of the convention. Highlights include the U.S. Navy parachute team, scheduled to perform daily next Wednesday through Sunday. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on AM 580. I'm Jim Meadows in for Todd Gleason. And joining us now for a look at agricultural weather is Steve Hilberg, director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon, Jim.
And you know, I was here late last night reporting on some flash flood warnings in parts of our broadcast listening area. So that's my first question. How much rain have we had?
Well, there are some areas of Illinois that have gotten tons of rain this month. Really, for the last 30 days or so, most of Illinois is actually in pretty good shape overall. There are some dry areas yet. Probably the driest area right now is roughly a little area in western Illinois from Quincy to Moline. Southwestern Illinois, which had been a little dry, is getting got plenty of rain today. Radar currently showing some heavy thunderstorms now moving out of Illinois and Indiana, and behind it, it's left a swath of wind damage all the way from central Missouri across the metro east area of St. Louis and down into southern Illinois. We're getting lots of reports of trees and power lines down all along that area. And now more light rain is moving into western Illinois. That very area I mentioned that was sort of short is getting some light to some areas, moderate rain. So while in some areas it's been feast or famine the last week or two, most of Illinois has gotten some pretty good rain, which has sort of helped deal with the heat a little bit as far as the crops are concerned.
Has Illinois been seeing much the same, or rather Indiana been seeing much the same situation?
Indiana's done pretty well in the rain department as well. In fact, probably a little bit better in Illinois. A lot of these systems of the east have been grazing them, but there are still a few locations in Indiana, southwestern Indiana. Up through yesterday was a little dry, but they're going to pick up some rain today with these storms moving through. And there's a little bit of eastern Indiana into western Ohio. Most of the southern or southeastern half of the Corn Belt is not in too bad a shape. It's when you get northwest of a Dubuque, Des Moines line that things really dry out rapidly, and of course they've had the heat there as well.
Well, what's in the forecast for all these areas?
Well, it looks like there will be some relief from the heat in the western Corn Belt for a couple days, especially earlier in the week, and especially for us. We'll see some drier air coming in here this weekend. We'll get rid of these 75-plus degree dew points that we've had to suffer through here the last several days. And it looks like temperatures will be much closer to normal, which we're looking at really now about mid-80s here for this time in July, and that'll be some nice relief from the heat we've had. And that'll probably last through the early part of next week. Then we'll see a gradual warm-up, and with some of the hotter weather still remaining well west of the Mississippi River. So temperatures, while they may warm up, probably won't get much past 90 by the mid to late part of next week, and that's not too unusual for summer around here.
Well, thank you, Steve. Have a good weekend.
Okay, will do, Jim.
Steve Hilberg, director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. And that's today's Closing Market Report. Remember, join us tomorrow morning at 11:30 Central Time for Commodity Week. That's our weekly analysis of what's happening in agriculture. For Todd Gleason, I'm Jim Meadows.